By way of explanation for those who are visitors with us this morning, we're in the midst of a sermon series going through Mark's Gospel. Of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Mark is the shortest as he tells us about the ministry and life of Jesus. It's full of action about the things Jesus did and said, how he healed the sick, offered forgiveness and cast out demons. He'd called a group of men, the disciples, to follow him. But news about Jesus was spreading and crowds of people started following him around. Some interested to see and learn more from him, others curious, and perhaps others just tagging along, drawn by the excitement of the crowd. We've now reached chapter 4, and with crowds of people following, Mark tells us Jesus takes the opportunity to do some teaching. They are on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And to give himself some space and to be heard and seen, Jesus with the disciples got into a boat, pushed out a bit from the shore and began to teach in parables. And as Anthony reminded us last week, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used illustrations from people's everyday experience to teach them about the nature of God's kingdom. He spoke about a lamp not being hidden. A seed growing underground will begin to sprout. Of a tiny mustard seed growing into a huge plant. And as Anthony focused on last week, the farmer sowing a seed and the type of ground it lands on would depend on its growth and fruitfulness. Parables were intended to make you think. They present a truth you work out for yourself. But it requires you to listen. And so we come to our passage today, and I invite you to turn in the Pew Bibles to page 106 and the verses at the end of chapter 4. Mark tells us in verse 35, it was now evening, and as they are already in the boat, Jesus proposes to the disciples they go to the other side of the lake. And so they set off, leaving the crowd on the shore. Mark also tells us that others with boats set off with them. And so they're sailing along, the sound of the water lapping against the boat, and Jesus, who shares our humanity, is understandably tired. It's been a long day. Ministry can be tiring. And with the gentle rocking of the boat, he falls asleep. Mark doesn't tell us, but I just wonder if the disciples, as the boat quietly sailed along, were reflecting on what they had heard. Perhaps one of them breaking the silence to offer some thought, and then they fell back into silence, for there was much to think about that Jesus had said. Some of you may have seen the television series Saving Lives at Sea about the work of the RNLI lifeboat crews around the coasts of Britain. The women and men who crew the lifeboats, as I'm sure you know, are all volunteers and show great courage in responding to incidents where people have got into trouble, perhaps by misjudging the strength of the currents or tide, or being caught out by a change in the weather. But what crew members all spoke of is the respect for the sea, acknowledging how quickly circumstances at sea can change and be unpredictable. So too on the Sea of Galilee. Here were Jesus and the disciples sailing quietly along when Mark tells us, verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now the first thing to say is that storms like this blowing up were not and are still not uncommon. The wind can suddenly get up and blown over the hills. The sea can get very rough very quickly on Galilee. And this must have been quite a storm, for some of the disciples were fishermen and familiar with the water. But the way the boat was being tossed around, they were scared they were going to drown. While the disciples are in a state of panic, believing they're going to die, Jesus is peacefully asleep. And in their distress and fear, they wake Jesus, verse 38. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Well, clearly Jesus does care. For for he gets up and rebukes the wind and says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And there is calm. Now, it'll deepen our understanding of this incident to have some understanding of the Old Testament background. For creation had involved God in bringing order out of chaos, as we read in Genesis. Land and sea were put apart. The ability to control the sea was a sign of divine power. We read in these words in Psalm 89. "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds us. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." The turbulent, rough sea came to symbolize the forces of evil which threatened to destroy, and which only the power of God could tell to quieten down. The disciples in the boat had witnessed Jesus heal and cast out demons, and now he calms the sea, showing his power over nature, the very same power shown by God. Jesus was not only a wonder worker, but also someone in whom the power of God was living and active. "Who is this?" the disciples asked themselves. And now they're not afraid, but awestruck. He saved them. But not only them, but the mercy of Jesus extends to the others in boats on the water. Isn't what happened to the disciples too what happens to us? We're sailing happily along through life when our calm is disturbed by an unexpected storm. It might come in the shape of a sudden bereavement, the unwelcome news from a hospital test result, the loss of a job, a breakdown in a relationship, a family crisis. Storms can hit our lives in a whole variety of ways. The winds roar. We don't feel in control. We fear we may go under. There have been times, it's been my experience, and I would imagine yours too. In a few minutes, in baptism, we'll welcome Hugo into the family of the church, just like his older sister Sophia was some time ago. It's the beginning of their journey of faith. But you see, being a Christian and follower of Jesus does not make us immune from the storms of life. James in his first letter writes, "Count it all joy when you face various trials." Not if, but when those trials come. Some Christians think when storms come, it must be punishment from God for some act of disobedience. But not necessarily so, for the disciples in the boat were being obedient to what Jesus asked to sail to the other side. Storms will come, and when the winds are roaring is when our faith is tested, and we may be tempted to fear. But like the disciples in the boat, the good news is Jesus is there to turn to and to call on. For his promise, as the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, is he will never leave us or forsake us. And Peter in his first letter writes that we can cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. It's this loving, caring Jesus we pray that Hugo and Sophia will be introduced to and encouraged to know and trust. For he is the one we can turn to in faith and confidence, and can bring us peace and calm. I want to encourage you to read on in chapter 5, maybe later today or perhaps during the week, and see how when the boat safely reaches land and Jesus steps ashore, how he faces another storm, this time in the form of a very disturbed man, and how he showed care and concern for him and bring peace and calm to his life. For restoration, new life, peace, and a deepened faith in Jesus are all signs of God's kingdom growing and at work in us, in others, and in the world around. And finally, I wonder how many of us, having come through some storm in our lives, look back and wonder why we didn't show more faith seeing how Jesus had been with us and had been faithful and trustworthy, that in looking back, it may help us when another storm comes to face it more with faith than with fear.